will come later. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to church tonight. Good to see all of you here. For those who don't know me, there's one or two new faces. My name's Leon. I'm kind of the boss of Mike, I guess, in some way. The senior pastor here at church. It's just good being with you tonight. Also, just a few things I just wanted to briefly mention. Most of you had the opportunity to congratulate the Harrisons yesterday, but I thought I'll do the same tonight again and just say congratulations, Ken and Jill, on the marriage of Rachel. And we all pray that that'll be just a blessing to her and to the whole family with the new union with Stephen. So congratulations on that event yesterday. Say again. There's wedding cake after church. Oh, there you go. Isn't there an old story that you need to take some wedding cake and put that under your pillow, and then if you sleep that night, you'll be dreaming of your husband-to-be or something like that? So there's reason to take wedding cake for those who want to. Yep, that's beside the point. But I was going to say, look, it's good to see you in church as well. Welcome back for a short visit. I heard that you're leaving again soon?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Yeah, okay. Have you picked up the U.S. accent?
No.
Okay. I'll speak to you a bit afterwards and we'll see. And also, I just wanted to say, Deslyn, welcome tonight. Deslyn spent a few days in hospital, and it's good that you are well enough to be with us tonight. That's very encouraging, and hope it goes well and you recover quickly. Before we get to the passage, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us now as we focus on your word and as we consider what you are teaching us tonight. How we need to not only just receive your truth, but also apply it in our lives. Lord, what a privilege it is for us to look at how we pray to you and what we pray to you, and understand more the words that come out of our mouths and out of our heart as we bow before you. So tonight, as we focus on this next part, I pray that you'll be with us and help us understand what it is we need to grow in. Amen. So, only one more week to go in the series. It really flied by, I was thinking, but it was also very encouraging, I think, to do this series and really consider what it is we are praying, what the words are we are saying, what it is we are taking to God in prayer. And I hope you have received a bit out of that as well as we've grown in our prayers. 2 weeks ago when I preached last time, I did the passage, the part that said, "Your will be done," which is such a important but also difficult part of praying, because that is really committing ourselves to the Lord and placing Him first in our lives and everything. Last week, Mike did asking for our daily bread, and in some ways that might have been relative to me. God is really feeding me well, I think, so praying for that. But it's not just about bread. Praying for our daily bread is also submitting to God and knowing that everything we receive in life and need in life comes from Him. So it's really a great prayer of thankfulness, asking God to care for us in all our physical and spiritual needs. Tonight we come to the next part, which says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And if praying for God's will to be done wasn't hard enough, I think tonight's topic is just as difficult to do. Praying that God will forgive us the way that we forgive others around us. How is it going in your forgiveness? How do you actually approach this prayer? What do you understand under forgiveness? If you think about forgiveness in a right side of the brain kind of way, you think about it logically and you want to do the maths about it, so you kind of ask the question that Peter was asking: "Lord, tell us, how many times should I forgive? Is it perhaps 7 times? Give me a number." The Jewish tradition back then was that you forgive someone 3 times and then you get to the end of what you need to forgive someone for. So 3 times. So for Peter to ask, "Is it perhaps 7 times, we're kind of understanding that it needs to be more, but give us the magical number so that we can just live according to that. Whether it be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, when I get that number, I can actually say, done, I needn't forgive you anymore. That's the logical way of thinking about forgiveness. Or it might be that we think about the steps that need to be taken. So we need to do this and that, and someone needs to do this and that, and then we come to forgiveness. If that's the way you approach what it means to forgive, you're missing a great big part of what this parable also teaches. And that is that forgiveness runs much deeper. Forgiveness cuts into the heart of who we are. Because forgiveness is a lot more about the emotions we all have and how we feel. Because forgiving someone means that you've been hurt. And therefore getting over that moment, over the truth of being hurt and forgiving someone, that is what makes the process so hard. And it might be major things that you are asked to forgive. We live in a world this very moment where the church is seen as a group of people who've been guilty of child abuse. And so we find ourselves in a nation which is struggling to forgive, seeking justice. We find this in many other cases. We find this, for example, in a world where there's a lot of terrorist attacks and bombings. And if you think about that, you ask yourself about the difficulty of forgiveness. If you've been part of those attacks, if one of you or one of your family members or a loved one was hurt, killed, or maimed, one of those attacks, how do you get past that? How do you forgive? Last week it was a tower of flats or apartments falling down in the UK, and we don't know how many people was killed by that, but when you look at the news articles, you can see how people are getting really upset by it. And they're really struggling to find peace and forgiveness. I come from a country where forgiveness was a big part of moving away or further from apartheid. We had a whole reconciliation committee where a lot of people were invited to come and share their stories and ask for forgiveness for the wrongs they had did in the past in a way of trying to move forward as a country. We find ourselves in a similar situation in Australia where there's a whole group of people, all the original people, feeling that they've been wronged in the past and seeking to find a way to forgive and move forward. And that'll be part of the video clip that we'll be seeing after the message tonight. It might be something that is not that major, but still touches your life and is still hurtful. Someone, somewhere, said something bad about you, and it really hurt. How do you forgive that person? Just let it go? Or how do you do that? What do you do? A friend at school did something bad or against you or negative and you feel hurt by that. Very often it's a family member. Very often it's a friend that did something towards you or behind your back and you feel hurt by that. It's so important for us to understand that forgiveness is much more than just logical steps we need to take. It's not just about the number. Peter thought it was, and in some ways, I guess, it would have been so much easier if it was a logical thing with numbers that we could put to it and say, well, only so many times, or these are the things you do to forgive someone. If that doesn't work, then, well, you tried your best. But that's not the way it goes. Peter thought it was. He went to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times. And even when the parable starts, we actually find that it sounds if this will be a logical thing to investigate. It starts with this sentence, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So it sounds like numbers, settling accounts. But as you read on, you see that emotions start to take over. Because the very next thing that happens is that this servant comes before the master and he falls on the ground begging for grace and mercy. That's real emotion. The master has pity on him. That's emotion. He then goes out and doesn't treat a fellow servant the same way, and other servants get upset by that. They go back to the master. The master is upset, and he sends this guy to jail. It's all about emotion now. It's about what cuts into your life and how it hurts in your life when you are wronged by someone else. I think we all walk around with some of this in our lives. It might be more, it might be less, but we all have that bit of hurt in us that someone else caused, and we very often struggle with how to deal with that and how to release that and how to forgive. Because what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is to let go of the hurt that someone caused you. To forgive that someone means that you truly forgive them so that what they did wrong to you is in your life no more. In this passage, it's all about a debt. But we read here, we are taught that forgiveness is cancelling that debt. It's running a line through it so that it is no more. The wrong is gone. It's not just pushed to the back. It's not just bottled up for a while. It is there no more. Psalm 103 says, God forgives us and takes our sins away as far as the east is from the west. What's that distance? It keeps on growing. It is there no more. So to forgive someone is to completely get rid of that feeling and that hurt that you had and experienced in your life because of what someone did against you. Now, forgiveness may not change the reality of what we are facing. Often when someone does something against us, we might still be experiencing the results of that. For example, another example that I thought about this last week was with Alex McKinnon, the rugby league guy who broke his neck in a tackle and is disabled or paralyzed from the neck down because of that. And I think he struggled with forgiveness. And it sounds like that he was looking for blame for quite a while. He's now wanting to talk to the guy who did the tackle and wanted to talk things out and find some sort of peace and forgiveness in that sense. Now, if he finds forgiveness in his heart, it will not change the fact that he is paralyzed. But it will certainly help him in his heart. Because that is where forgiveness is at. It might not change reality, but it sits in your heart. And so therefore, verse 35 says, where Jesus teaches us that you have to forgive people from the heart. It needs to be sincere. It needs to be complete. It needs to be unconditional. See, there's no conditions that you set for forgiveness. It does make it a lot easier if someone who's wronged you comes to you and apologizes or wants to reconcile. That makes forgiveness a lot easier to achieve. But your forgiveness should not be dependent on those conditions. Because it starts in your heart. It's something that you have to do. It's something that you have to achieve in forgiving others for what they did wrong towards you. And that is why it is so difficult. Because the natural reaction we all have is completely the opposite of that. We all feel that an eye for an eye. If someone did something wrong to you, then justice is that they also should get some sort of punishment or something should happen to them. And sometimes in life we kind of move past what happened, but we still hold on to that memory of what happened. And so when something bad happens to those people, we kind of go, yeah, there you go, that's karma for you. I remember them doing something towards me, it might be years back. Yeah, now it's their turn to suffer a bit. You haven't forgiven, if that is how you feel. Some people say, I'll forgive, but never forget. And in some way, that's still saying, look, I'm hanging on to this in the back of my mind. And very often when it happens in relationships, we kind of drag that up again. When we argue about something or are upset, we just grab those old stuff that we had to forgive and let go of. Forgiveness is completely letting go of the hurt that we have experienced. If we don't do that, it will have a negative effect in our lives. If we don't forgive, unforgiveness brings suffering to ourselves. Now, in this parable, it's very clear, it's very extreme. We are told in this parable that this servant who didn't want to forgive his fellow servant, when the news came to the master about this, it says in verse 34, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And the next verse says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This does not mean that God is saying, I will not forgive you unless you forgive all others. That's the wrong interpretation of this passage. And I'll get to that just in a moment. But I think what it does say, this, both these verses are saying, look, if you don't forgive, you are carrying hate in your heart. And that is like a worm that will eat into your soul. And you'll be hurt by that. I think I used the example of holding on to things in the past, and it's like holding on to a burning coal. And the longer we hold on to it, and the more we hold on to it, the more it hurts us. You might not be remembering picking up burning coal, so maybe pick up just a pointy stone and hold on to that. And the tighter you squeeze that, the more it'll hurt you. The longer you hold that in your hand, the more you'll grow weary, and the more it'll just drag you back. And it's the same with forgiveness. If we do not let go of the things that hurt us, if we do not let go of all those thoughts of revenge and hatred and turmoil within us, then it'll continue to hurt us more. Now, very often in life, someone did something wrong against you, and you are hurt by that, and they've moved on. They won't even be thinking about that anymore. But you are so resentful of it that you are carrying this hurt inside you, and it's hurting you every single day, and they don't even know about it. It's only hurting yourself. And so forgiveness is also letting go of that so that you might find peace in your heart. But there's a bigger reason why we need to forgive, and I think we find that very clearly in this parable as well. And that is the question whether God forgives us only if we forgive, and I think it's certainly not the case. Because if you have a look at the parable, you'll actually see that I think the principal message we get, the bigger message, is not about the servant. The bigger message of this whole parable is about the greatness and the grace of the master and how he forgives. Now, if you do the maths, because we are told in this passage that the master forgave the servant... is it 10,000 talents? Yeah, I wonder how much that is. Well, luckily, as I was wondering, and someone else did the maths for me, I was too lazy to do that, but someone else did this and figured out that it is actually millions and millions of dollars, even in today's terms, and it actually relates to, which this guy did, figured out that it relates to 11 years of income for King Herod. So this is what a king earned for 11 years. All right, let's try and put that in perspective. It is what the prime minister earns in 11 years. No, it gets worse. It's what the CEO of Australian Post earns over 11 years, or the CEO of Qantas, or any of those major companies. Over 11 years! That's a big number. And that is what this servant was owing. He would never be able to pay back what he owed. And that is why his only option was to come before the master and fall on his knees and ask and beg for forgiveness, for grace. And that's the point we need to get to. Do you understand how much you owe the master? How much has God forgiven you? What are the sins and the trespasses that God is forgiving you? And that's a sum that is really staggering to make. What is my number of sins? It runs into the millions. And they keep on adding up. Every single day we add more and we do more wrong and we grieve God more and we sin more. But the fact that we can only come before Him and fall on our knees and ask for forgiveness is what we should be seeing here. Now, it's not as if the God that we have then comes to us and says, well, okay, what you did wrong is okay, I'll forgive you. See, your debt needed to be paid. And it's Jesus who took that payment on Him. Christ paid for all your sins. Christ completely paid for all our debt. And that is why God now in His love and grace looks at us and sees no more debt in us. He cancelled our debt completely. There is no more debt before God. We have been forgiven for all the things we have wronged, the things we do wrong now, and the things we will be doing wrong in the future. And it's only when you truly understand that forgiveness and how you have been forgiven that you then understand how you should be forgiving those who are who have trespassed or sinned against you. God does not go, okay, I'll forgive, but I won't forget the things you did wrong. He never says, okay, well, I'll forgive you, but in 10 years' time, I'll drag it up again, I'll mention it to you. He doesn't say, well, okay, I'll forgive you, but only if you do this or that, this or that. It's unconditional. And He forgives us completely. Now, if that's the understanding you have of your forgiveness, then surely it should have an impact in your relationships with others and how you treat others who sin against you. Well, what is that sin or that trespass that others have performed or wronged you in? Once again, the guy who was so good in doing the maths dipped the maths again. So he had a look at what the fellow servant was owing and compared to what the servant owed the master, it is 600,000 times less. Okay, in comparison, that would mean that the servant was forgiven the debt of two houses and ride, while the fellow servant only owed a cup of coffee. That's the comparison. That is exactly 600,000 times less. The worth of two properties against a cup of coffee. What is the sin of others and the trespasses of others compared to what you have transgressed against God? If you truly understand the grace of God that He has showed you, then surely you should be able to show some of that in the relationship you have with others. Now, it's something that's hard to do. It's something that's impossible to do if we don't understand what Jesus did, if we don't have Jesus in our lives, if we don't have the Holy Spirit helping us. It's near impossible to truly forgive. But when we pray for this and when we ask God's help, then God helps us to achieve that sense of peace and understanding and forgiveness. It's a very important point to get to. It's so important that when Jesus teaches His disciples the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 as well, He continues to teach them the Lord's Prayer, and He comes to the end of it when He says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And then He concludes by saying this, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So the first sentence He adds, after He taught them the Lord's Prayer, to remind them of the importance of forgiveness. Now, I'll just encourage you tonight by asking you, well, consider the hurt that you might still be carrying around against other people. How has someone else wronged you in life? And what is maybe just a small little rock or a big rock that you are holding on to? Consider and pray that you might be able to let that go and release that completely. That you might be able to forgive. And afterwards, maybe perhaps even that you might be able to fix the relationships that need fixing as well. Amen. Let's watch the video clip now, which is a very interesting one. And after that, Jason will come and lead us in prayer.
We need to be caught up in the spirit of forgiveness. If that's successful, that opens up the way for justice to flow.
In the Lord's Prayer it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And
I think for the disciples hearing this from the mouth of Jesus, this probably would have sounded radical, to ask the Father to forgive my sin, just I forgive everybody around me who sins against me.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Oh, that's, it is.
And that's what God might be inviting us into this Lent as we ponder the cross. Forgiveness opens up the opportunity for the possibility of relationships, the possibility of reconciliation, the possibility of communion. Well, that's probably the space where God sits, because opening up that forgiveness of sin, he does a similar thing to us. He doesn't say, well, it's not fair that you are not in right relationship with me. It's not fair that you are separated and apart from me, but I offer forgiveness.
Exactly.
To make a way open for you to be in right relationship
exactly.
with me.
Exactly. It's the first step, isn't it?
Mm.
Forgiveness opened up the way. We need to be caught up in the spirit of forgiveness. And I think that opened up, if that's successful, that opened up the way for justice to flow.
So much of reconciliation is tied up with grace and forgiveness, but also confession of sins as well.
Our forgiveness releases us.
Yes.
And it releases us, and so that we don't become, we're not victimized by our own anger or guilt or torment.
Yes.
Because we're forgiven, and it releases the spirit in us to be able to reach out, like you said, for dialogue and relationship to begin.
It does allow the possibility to be free from resentment, to not necessarily carry deep down bitterness and resentment into the pathway going forward.
Yeah.
Even politically it's so difficult. Do I offer forgiveness, knowing that the justice and the fairness may not be reciprocal? But in doing so, we enter into the God space.
Yeah.
We enter into God's heart and God's mind. We still offer forgiveness anyway, even though it might not be accepted, even though it might not be received, because I desire relationship and communion.
Yeah, specific instances may depend upon conditions being right, but the willingness to forgive. The impact of colonization has virtually brought about cultural genocide for Aboriginal people on the east coast of Australia. And so learning to forgive was a huge step in the preparation for my ministry. Our receiving forgiveness being dependent upon our giving forgiveness is a huge lesson that we've got to learn. The power of forgiveness is huge. And if we could exercise the power of forgiveness in Australia, we'd lower the barriers for real real dialogue and negotiation to begin spiritually, politically and economically.
In the middle of this prayer, I'm going to read Psalm 32. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are indeed the Almighty God.